Good morning. If you'll please open your Bible to 1 Peter. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Glad to see everyone with us here this morning. If you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests. So glad that you're here and hope that you'll be able to return and visit us once more at your earliest opportunity. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter exhorts here the elders, of which he was also one. Prince Clive made an announcement this morning that at the end of the month, the congregation here at 9th and Main will no longer have an eldership. Friends, it's my firm belief that we have men here, other men here, that are qualified to step up into that role. And yet none have at this point. After speaking with the elders earlier this week, or this past week, we discussed certain things and felt that it would be good and beneficial that we discuss the role of elders and maybe some of the qualifications of such this morning, and maybe even in a couple of weeks to come. And friends, I want to encourage you as the congregation meeting here at 9th and Main to look round about you. Look at what the Bible says concerning the qualifications for men to be elders. And if you see men that meet those qualifications or most of those qualifications and they have the ability to qualify themselves, that is, they have the ability to make themselves qualified to meet those things, I want you to encourage them to do so. To meet those qualifications, to step up into that role. And friends, I want you to look about you, and I want you to look at some of the younger men of the congregation. And if they, as of yet, do not have, and ambition is the only word I can think of, it may not be the right word, but the ambition, the goal maybe is a better word, to be an elder one day and to help lead a congregation, whether it's this one or another one, wherever they may go, encourage them to do that. Friends, the church all around this country, all around this world is in dire straits because men will not step up into that leadership role. Churches are dying because they will not have a scriptural eldership. And they might even have men among them that are qualified to do so. The first congregation with which I worked, I can name right now four men that meet every qualification to lead a congregation, to be elders, and have not done so, and their flimsy excuse is, I don't have the desire. Friends, I preached a sermon either earlier this year or late last year, I'm not sure which. And I posed this question, and I want to pose this challenge, this question to you again. Friends, if you meet every qualification, and we're going to talk about them a little later. We'll get there. But I want you to keep this in mind as we go through these things. Men, especially, listen up. If you meet every qualification of an elder and you fail to step up into that role, what are you going to tell God on the judgment? Will you be able to look me in the eye, George in the eye, or Clyde in the eye after we're done today and honestly tell them, tell me, and tell your Lord that the reason you didn't serve is because you didn't want to? You didn't want to? Friends, I don't think that will be, nor has it ever been, an acceptable excuse or reason to the Lord. And I hope that you'll consider those things as we go through our lesson this morning. But Peter here exhorts the elders, and his purpose of exhorting them, he saw the need to encourage them. to instruct them, to admonish them. What got Peter the right to do so? Well, for one thing, he was an apostle. For another, he was an elder himself, a fellow elder. Therefore, he knew their needs. In Peter, you saw one that was a witness, an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ. In Gethsemane and his arrest, Peter was there through the trials, even though afar off, Peter was there on the cross. Peter was there. Peter was a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. In Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36, you can turn there and read with me if you want to. But beginning of verse 28 in Luke chapter 9, we read, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, their talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. "While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him, hear ye him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen." But friends, notice in verse 32, "Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his," Jesus, "glory. And the two men that stood with him." This was a foretaste, friends, of the glory that's going to be revealed. That glory is Christ. Now, what was Peter's message to the elders to whom he wrote? He said, number one, to feed or tend the church of God. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." Feed the flock. Part of that is having, whether it be themselves or someone else, stand in the pulpit and preach the Word. And I'm thankful to have the privilege to do that here at 9th and May. But feed the flock. Take the oversight thereof. Be leaders. Look over them. Lead them in the way that God would have them to go. Do so not of constraint, but willingly. This is where the desire comes in, friends. And every man that meets the qualifications of an elder ought to desire to lead God's people. He ought to have that desire. And if that desire has not been instilled in him, I wonder. Why not? Would we see the Lord's church die rather than step into that role? Would that not make us willing? Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not for the cause, not just for the title of being an elder. Not just because, some people actually have the attitude, "Well, I'm an elder now, nobody can tell me what to do." Friends, that's not a reason to become an elder. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Ready and willing to serve. Being examples to the flock, not as lords. Peter also writes of the rewards of being an elder. He says, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," the chief shepherd, of course, being Jesus, "ye, the elders, shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." That's one of the rewards for an elder and leading as he ought to lead. But as Peter does this, what are some other thoughts that we need to consider concerning elders within the Lord's church? Friends, we need to understand, number one, that it is an important work. And sometimes I don't think we understand how important it is. There are a number of people sitting here this morning, I'm sure, that don't understand everything that an elder's work involves. the stress and the strain and the worry that is on their minds daily and nightly, losing sleep night after night because they have a particular member on their mind, that their soul isn't right with God. Yes, it's a tremendous responsibility. But we understand, friends, it's an important work. It involves leadership. Friends, a congregation, a church cannot rise above its leaders. That church is going to be determined, the direction is going to be determined by its leaders. If we disregard the teachings of the Bible on elders, friends, the church here will not prosper. It will not grow. And so Christians and elders must know the teachings on eldership. We need to understand that the work of an elder is wonderfully, while it is an important work, while it can be a stressful work, but friends, it is wonderfully rewarding. Elders are directly related to the work of saving souls. Now what man of you wouldn't want to be involved in that? In the work of saving souls. Why wouldn't I strive toward that particular goal, that particular office? The work of an elder progresses because, or our work as a church rather, progresses because of their plans, their work, and their prayers. It's an important work. It's a rewarding work. But friends, also the office of a bishop is a good work. It is good. Peter says it. Paul says it. There are two Greek words translated good. One is agathos. It deals more with the intrinsic value. And then there's kalos, meaning with how it affects the beholder. And here kalos is used. It is a position of work. Good work. Desirable work. Work that the Lord requires of qualified men. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, Paul says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So what is it to desire? In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, there's our word for desire. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, there's our word for desire, coveted after. So what does that mean for a man as far as an elder, as far as the eldership goes? Notice what Paul says. This is a true saying. If a man covets after the office of a bishop, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work, kalos. As we understand what is to take place concerning a man that's qualified to be an elder, do we really want to stand before God and tell Him, I did not covet after this work that you bestowed upon the congregation? I did not covet a good work that you placed before men. I made all of these qualifications, but God, I didn't want to. So it disqualified me. Friends, when has God ever allowed an easy way out like that? I never read of it in His Word. We read of the desire of Abraham to see that holy city in Hebrews chapter 11, 13 through 16. And again, we understand that desire that a man is to have to be an elder. We begin reading in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, and we read these words. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire, they're actively looking for, they're coveting after a better country that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Friends, I know of far too many congregations. Far too many. And perhaps they would even tell you that they have men in the office of an elder that do not meet the qualifications that God has set forth simply for the sake of having an eldership. That's not what I'm proposing. We don't need to stick men in the office of an elder simply for the sake of having an eldership. But friends, like I said at the beginning of our lesson, I firmly believe we have men here that are qualified, but have you refused to step up? Can we not cultivate a desire to do so? Can we not strive toward having that desire, that coveting that office that God, this great office that God has bestowed upon His church? Friends, we have the responsibility, not only myself as a preacher, but all of us as Christians, to develop that desire in people. And it really needs to begin early. But friends, we can do so with older folks, with older men, with wiser men, and still encourage them to do so. Encourage them to step up into these roles. And I'm calling upon you as a congregation to do just that. Look for these men. Seek them out. Encourage them to have this desire to step up into the role of an elder. That desire that's not motivated by personal gain or honor, but a love for the opportunity to serve Christ. I love the opportunity that I have each and every Sunday to stand before you and preach the gospel of God's Word. There's nothing else that I would rather do. And I hope one of these days, my friends, to be qualified to serve not only as a preacher, maybe, hopefully more on a part-time basis when I reach that particular age, but to serve God as an elder. To lead His congregation wherever I may be, His church wherever I may be, in the way that He would have us to go. And if the Lord wills, maybe that'll be here. But friends, at this point, there are some among us that, while they may be qualified in the future, they're not qualified now. And so we need men that are qualified now to step into this role and to lead this church. And we need to understand that they must meet the qualifications. Again, we don't need men in the office simply to have an eldership. We need men that are qualified. It's necessary. Notice Acts 9 and verse 6. John 4:24 and Hebrews 11:6. Acts 9, verse 6 first. In Acts 9, verse 6, we read, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now this is Saul on the road to Tarsus. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." There were certain things that Paul or Saul had to do in order to become a Christian, right? In order to be saved. In John 4, verse 24, we read, "God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." There are certain things that a person has to do in order to worship God in the proper manner. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." There are certain things a person has to do. Certain qualifications that a person has to meet. And these qualifications for an elder, friends, we're not going to take the time to go over them. We've gone over them before. But I want you to look at them today when you get home. Study 1 Timothy, or look over 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Look at the qualifications of an elder. Look at the men of the congregation here about you. Seek out those men that meet these qualifications. Encourage them. Lift them up. And let them know that you have confidence in them to serve as they ought to in the role of an elder. Now friends, there are three terms in reference to an elder. There's the Greek word episkopos, meaning bishop or overseer. There's presbyteros, meaning presbyter or elder. And then there is poimen, or pastor, shepherd. Now the difference is in viewpoint, not authority. Understand that. All these words are used interchangeably. Concerning the viewpoint of a episkopos, that is what they are to do. They are to be an overseer. Their age, their wisdom, their experience, their qualifications and dignity is presbyteros. And how they are to do the work is poimen, pastor, shepherd. They are to lead. They are to stand before the people and lead them. Now you have to drive cattle, right? Can't hardly do that with sheep. You have to lead them. Stand before them, guide them, and allow them to follow you. And friends, we need to understand that there are to be a plurality of elders in each congregation. As Clyde said, his resignation is effective at the end of this month. At that particular time, we'll no longer have an eldership, as George would be the only one remaining. As we have no eldership, we would no longer have deacons because they would have no one to answer to. Friends, we need men. Preferably more than two, but at least two. That would step up into this role and lead this congregation in the way that God would have it to go. We need qualified men to be leaders. To be elders. In Titus 1 and verse 5, Paul writes to Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders." Notice the plurality. "Elders in every city as I had appointed thee." In Acts 14 and verse 23, "And when they had ordained them elders," plurality, "in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Acts 20, verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders," plurality, "of the church." In Philippians 1, verse 1, again Paul writing, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops," again plural, "and deacons." Friends, understand, I cannot press upon myself and upon you enough the importance of an eldership within a congregation. I've personally worked with a congregation that did not have elders, and that congregation had men that were qualified, friends. Congregation needs help. They bicker and fight amongst themselves because they have no leadership. That is not my desire for the Church of Christ at Ninth and Main. We need leaders, men that will take that role. Close your Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. We're ready to sing the invitation in just a moment. Men, let me talk to you first. If you are a man that is of age, that has faithful children, able to control your temper, and you meet all these other qualifications of an elder except desire, I implore you, friend, I beg of you, find the desire. It's within you. Find the desire to do God's will and step up into the role of an elder and lead this congregation as it needs to be led. is it needs to be led. Excuse my English. Will you do that? And friend, if you're here this morning and you know of men here that meet those qualifications, encourage them. Talk with them. And let's be sure that we have men that are qualified to lead this congregation for years to come. Let's encourage our young men to cultivate these qualifications. Friends, if you read those qualifications of an elder, they ought to be qualifications that every Christian meets. And if we have men here this morning that meet those qualifications, why do we not have more men stepping up to serve as elders? Every Christian ought to meet them. Or strive to. We need men to lead. But friend, as we look at God's Word, we are to follow the great shepherd. That shepherd being Jesus Christ. That shepherd gave His life upon the cross. He shed His lifeblood so that you and I might have remission of sins. And friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity now. Jesus bled and died for you. You have an opportunity this morning to put Christ on in baptism, to come in contact with that blood, and have your sins washed away. Would you do so this morning? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Would you repent of sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins? Friend, are you here this morning? Having at some time past done so, have you fallen away? Have you allowed the world to take control of your life? Come home, friend. Give it back to the Lord. Be His again. If you have a need, we urge you to come as we stand and as we sing.